What's going on there, youth pastors? Paul Turner here from thediscipleproject.net and your host of the Youth Ministry Motion Podcast, the podcast that wants to keep you motivated and your youth ministry moving forward. How are you today? Hope you're doing well. Hope the sun is shining where you are. I hope that spring has sprung all the way and you're getting summer vibes because it's coming up really, really soon. And lest you think that after 34 years of youth ministry that my life is simply grand, well, let me tell you, took my students to Atlanta last weekend, and we had a great time, took them to the Coke Factory, ate at Varsity Grill, super time, until we got back to one of the vehicles of our volunteers, and it had gotten broken into. Windows smashed, stuff taken, and 6 hours later, the cops show up and were able to make a report. But our students handled it in stride. We went out, got pizza, sat on this road in Atlanta for almost 6 hours and just talked and ate and really just comforted and supported our volunteers for making that trip with us. So there you go, still making memories 34 years later. Not exactly the kind of memories I was hoping to be making, but you know what? The Lord was good to us and took care of us and kept us all safe, and we get to tell the story. Today, I want to talk to you about pushing and pulling. That's right, pushing and pulling. Pushing is what we do when we shout our events and programming and meeting at students and even the gospel. But the question we have to ask is pushing the most effective way to do things? Is there another way? Is pulling the way to getting more students to attend our events, our meetings, our camps, our retreats? Because if you think about it, we are pushing the same way other brands, if you want to call it that, other opportunities are pushing at students. Their world is overflowing with information. Their attention span is near nothing. Between TikTok and Snapchat and other social media platforms, texts with their friends, advertisements, all of them are vying for a sliver of your students' precious time. And that begs the question, how do we then break through the noise to get our students to notice our events or care about what we have to offer? Let's talk about pushing and the perils of pushing, because that seems to be our default mode sometimes, right? We're getting up there, we're making announcements, we're just getting after it and telling them, just dumping information on our students as if they're going to remember it. Think about it though. Think about the last time you were bombarded with like a sales pitch. Did you feel compelled to listen, or did you instinctively tune it out? Pushing information is basically a one-sided affair. Put yourself in the shoes of your students when you're making announcements. What do they hear? Push or pull? You see, you as the communicator, you are telling or pushing people what they should know, right? It's valuable information. It's what they need to know to attend the thing that you're doing. But in the process, we, and I include me in this, are neglecting their needs and their interest. Hard selling your youth events could work against your event. So let's talk about a way to talk about your programs, meetings, etc., through the lens of curiosity and tapping in to the actual needs of your students. Now, pulling versus pushing is more nuanced. It involves sparking curiosity and drawing people in. Instead of dictating information, you create a space for discovery. Now, here are some ways to utilize the power of pulling. Number one, asking intriguing questions. Pose questions that pique curiosity, challenge their assumptions, and prompt their reflection. What if you don't come to this event? What if you do come to this event? What if you do come to camp? What if you don't come to camp? Simply asking the question allows students to reflect for just a moment and say, what if I don't go to camp? Am I going to be the same old person I always am? What if I do go to camp? Can I become a new person? But they only get there if you ask the question. And what if is a great way to introduce the thought, which could eventually lead them to them actually attending camp or the retreat or the event. but you got to give them some room to breathe and think about it. Number two, focus on the benefits, not the features. So don't spend a lot of time talking about the speakers they don't know, or the blob at camp, or this cool thing you rented for some youth event. Those are all features, and those are fine. But I don't think they're as powerful as tip number three, which is tell compelling stories. And this is where you have students who attended camp last year get up and talk about what camp did for them, how it impacted their lives, and why their friends, why they think that the other students in your youth group should come to camp because of what Jesus did in their lives. And the fourth advantage of pulling versus pushing is creating a sense of community. And yes, this is where you want to show videos of last year's camp. This is where the testimonies come in. And this is a great opportunity to ask the group, says, how many of you made a new friend at camp last year? How many of you met your best friend at camp last year? How many of you grew closer together last year at camp? And what you're doing there is showing proof to those that are in the room that have never been to camp with you before, never been on the retreat, never been to the event, and that person may be looking for new friends. That person may be wanting to be in a deeper, tighter community. They don't know or care about the speaker. They don't really care about the blob per se, but they do care about community and lasting relationships. Would you like to know how Jesus drew people to himself? How he didn't push but pull? That's what I'm going to talk about next, right after this brief announcement. Listen, we've all been there when we've been in a small group meeting and we ask a question of the group and we are met with awkward silence and people staring at the ceiling or at their shoes, and it drives me crazy. Does it drive you crazy? But listen, I've put together a set of four lessons that I think will engage your students in conversation, inviting them in to answer questions because they want to answer them, not because they feel like they have to answer them. And this series is called Four Questions Jesus Still Asks Us Today. Questions like, who do men say that I am? What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? These are the kinds of questions Jesus asked and drew people to himself. And I believe they're the same questions that are going to get your students to lean in and engage in the conversation. And not only do you get the discussion questions, but you're also going to get several fun icebreaker question sheets like would you rathers, this or that questions, and where do you stand questions like is a hot dog a sandwich? Well, then we have to discuss that. And one more little bonus that I'm putting in there, these four lessons are being taught by my students. They're leading these small groups in their homes with their friends. And so I'm going to include the notes that I gave my students that I went over with them, that maybe if you want to have student-led small groups around these questions, well, these two pages of notes that I gave my students might be helpful in teaching your students as well. So if you want students to quit staring at the floor and start staring into their hearts with these intriguing questions, there will be a link down in the show notes where all you have to do is sign up for my newsletter, the Youth Ministry Roundup, and you will get all these questions, the fun discussion questions, as well as my student leader notes. And not only that, you will get articles, videos, and more in your inbox every week to help you build a successful youth ministry. Now, back to the episode. Jesus was the master of pulling, not pushing. In fact, I think that's why he got the attention of the people. He says, this man is not like the Pharisees. He doesn't teach like them. Why? Because the Pharisees were all about pushing, all about telling. And Jesus was all about asking questions and drawing people in. In fact, Jesus asked 307 questions. Questions like, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their own soul? Jesus wasn't pushing. He was pulling. He didn't come to earth to push us to heaven. He came to invite us to heaven. He came to engage with us with questions like, who do people say I am? So let's keep this in mind as we bring it back to our own programming and how we engage with our students. Let me give you an example of an ad you might hear on the radio. It might say, our revolutionary 12-week program guarantees weight loss and muscle gain. Sign up now. And of course, that's pushing. Now, the pulling version of that might sound like this. Feeling frustrated with your fitness routine? We help people discover healthy habits that fit their lifestyle. What are your biggest challenges with getting active? And then they would talk about the challenges maybe of time or money, but the difference is clear. Pulling fosters conversation, identifies pain points, and positions you as a helpful guide, not a pushy salesperson who has to meet some kind of quota. Let's go back to the example of camp. Camp push would sound like this. You should really come to camp. Camp is awesome. It will change your life. Well, that's certainly the push method. The pull method of that would be, what's your summer looking like? Are you doing anything that could change your life? If not, I have something that could. You interested? Now, this particular pull method would be great in a conversation with a student, not necessarily a announcement type of version of that, although you could put a screen up with some questions and things like that that might get kids thinking. But take a look at everything that you're doing to invite kids, whether it's through social media, whether it's through written word or spoken word or visuals. Is it pulling or is it pushing? I recently found myself caught in the gravity of pushing when I was writing copy for an event coming up. And, you know, it's easy enough to simply say, hey, I'm going to put food, fun, prizes. That's the thing, right? But the revelation behind that push was, who was I inviting? I was inviting kids who were interested in food, fun, prizes. Nothing wrong with that. Plenty of kids who are interested in that. But the chances of keeping those kids is small. Much like the people who were at Jesus's miracle where he was multiplying fish and loaves. There were those who came for the fishes and the loaves, but weren't really interested in Jesus himself. They were interested in the miracle, but not the man. Instead, on this event, which is called Summer Showdown, I put on there, join a team, meet some friends, and grow in your faith. Now, why did I choose that copy? Well, I chose that because I'm talking to people who want to be a part of something. I want them to be interested in making some new friends. And even those that are out there that may not be Christians yet, or maybe they're Christians and they're not part of group, they say, I'd like to grow my faith. And I think the chances are better of keeping those students who are attracted by that, who say, yeah, I'm interested in more of connection than I am the stuff. And I think it's easier to keep students who are drawn to things like community, relationships, friendship, growing in their faith than it is kids who are interested in stuff. Because the kids who come for the stuff means I'm going to have to keep promoting the stuff. I'm going to have to keep pushing those things to get them to show back up. But if I pull, well, then I'm going to get maybe fewer kids, but I'm going to get those kids to stay longer. So the reality is that pulling is a long-term play. While pushing might get you more students, pulling fosters deeper connections. Pulling takes more time, more effort than pushing, but I believe the end results will be worth it. And that's it for this episode. If you're brand new here to the podcast, thank you for visiting. Thanks for being a part. I hope you won't be a stranger, and I hope that you'll hit that subscribe button so you can get episodes like this in your inbox on a regular basis. And if you're a regular, I always appreciate your time and your attention. If you really like this episode, would love if you give it some stars, some thumbs up, whatever it is you do on the platform that you're listening to. Leave a review so other youth pastors just like yourself can learn how to build a successful youth ministry. Don't forget about the links down below in the show notes to the four questions Jesus still asks. And if nobody has told you lately that you're doing a good job, let me tell you, you're doing a great job and you're only going to get better. We'll see you in the next episode.